ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अनपेक्षशुचिर्दक्ष
उदासीनो गतव्यतः
सर्वारंभ परित्यागी
यो मद्भक्तः समे प्रियः।
माई डिवोटी हु इज नॉट डिपेंडेंट ऑन द ऑर्डिनरी कोर्स ऑफ एक्टिविटीज, हु इज प्योर एक्सपर्ट विदाउट केयर्स, फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल पेन्स एंड नॉट स्ट्राइविंग फॉर सम रिजल्ट, हि इज वेरी डियर टू मी। Text 17.
यो न हृष्यति न द्वेष्टि न शोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभ परित्यागी भक्तिमान्यः समे प्रियः।
वन हु नेदर रिजॉयसेस नॉर ग्रीव्स, हु नेदर लैमेंट्स नॉर डिजायर्स, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. So these two words we didn't discuss last time, udasino gatavyatah, and that is connected to the next two words also, so that is why we recited one more verse. Udasin literally means indifferent. One who is indifferent. We can see that if you are attached to something, we cannot be indifferent. For example, there are hundreds of children running here and there, but the parents are attached to only that particular child. Like when a mother goes to school, mother may admit the child in the pre-nursery or something, isn't it? Then you go to the school, you find hundreds of children are going here and there, you are looking at all of them, but then there is one child which draws your complete attention. You've seen that, isn't it? You're attached to that one child. Similarly, we can see, like, you know, you're sitting in the train in a seat and you've kept your bag in the top. What do you call it? Berth or something, isn't it? Berth, you keep it in the berth. Now, suddenly somebody climbs up to the berth. Immediately what happens? Your antenna stands up, isn't it? Immediately. Immediately become alert. Okay, what is the person going to do there? Is he going to open my bag and take away, you know, my mobile or any valuable from that? Then you get tension, isn't it? Some people take that bag and keep it in the opposite side. So you can keep an eye on that. So this is a opposite example of udasin. How we all have an invisible hook to many things in this world, where we have the attention. So this is with respect to a thing, like object or a bag or something. And we can also give examples of living bodies. We have connections in this world. We have connection to land, connection to people, connection to some bank balance somewhere. Or we may have connection to some money that is stored by our ancestors somewhere far away. If we are aware of it, there is a hook, invisible hook from here to there, hoping that someday I will get it. So generally, the soul is in this material world is hooked to many such objects of gratification in this world. So to be udasin or to be indifferent to these things is not a fun. It's not a joke. To not be attached to these things or become desireless with no desires. So in the very first place, one may have a question in mind: why at all should one become desireless? Why not just enjoy the way that our mind directs us? You may have a question. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a section called as Behavior of a Perfect Person. So that explains about the behavior of a Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord. So there it is explained, one time when Prahlad Maharaj was going in the forest, he came across this great saint who was appearing to be practically not having anything to do. He was free from activity and he appeared very cheerful in his face and he appeared hale and healthy. So Prahlad met him and asked him a question. How do you survive? Who are you? Let me know how you are so happy and why have you given up all activity? He's asking him many questions. So in response, he is very beautifully explaining, which is certainly of some value to our life. So that is explaining how all of us actually, as souls, as individual souls, the joy that we can get is only spiritual joy. That is the quality of pleasure that can satisfy the soul. The quality of satisfaction that soul is seeking is spiritual pleasure. That alone can satisfy the soul. But the soul is now currently entrapped in this material body. And the biggest problem is the soul identifies with the material body. And identifying himself with this body, he is running here and there searching for happiness, material happiness. And the more he endeavors for material happiness, the more he suffers. Now this may look little abstract. To make it more simple, he gives an example. He says, there was a deer who wanted to drink water. The deer was very thirsty. So the deer went to a pond, but all he found in the pond was fully grown grass. Sometimes you have seen a whole pond full of grass, you have seen that? Sometimes. So the deer felt very bad. I couldn't get even a drop of water here. It's all only grass. Then he took a about turn and went to the desert where he was searching water. But the foolish deer didn't know that below the grass there was water. If he just moved the grass a little bit, he could have easily achieved the waters. Fresh cooling waters are available. But he didn't take the trouble to move the grass and drink that water. Rather, he started searching for water in the wrong place, in a desert. In the same way, he says, our Atma here is compared to the water here, and the body which has grown upon the soul, that is compared to the grass. You understand the example? There is water below and above that there is grass. Similarly, we have soul inside and outside the material body, which has developed upon the soul. Or we can say it's like the car and the driver. Simple example Prabhupada gives. The material body is a vehicle for the soul. Soul is sitting in this. So now, looking at this material body, all of us become captivated. Like every day we look at our face in the mirror. Isn't it? We look at our face and we think, I am this body. So in one of our bases, when I went, they had put up a slogan there. You are seeing what you are not. They had put a slogan. Yeah. You are seeing what you are not. So you enter the bathroom later and there they have written, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Material world is a place of misery. You have to clean your body, clean your system and everything. So they put slogans like this everywhere. You go to drink water, Rasavamapsukante, and they put there everywhere. So they had written, you are seeing what you are not. So every day we see what we are not in the mirror. Although we know we are seeing what we are not, we are still interested in seeing what we are actually not. Yeah. So, we are actually looking at the external garb of the soul or the vehicle in which we are sitting. But the problem is, the more I identify with my body, to that degree I will also act on the platform of the body. That is the problem. Like Prabhupada explains in Ishopanishad, a wonderful example. He gives the example of a high court judge and a clerk, two levels. High court judge, what is high court judge doing? He's just sitting and hearing the both the sides. He's looking both sides and he's writing something, some concluding remarks. And then he gets a big salary. Say he must be getting some, say, monthly 50,000 he gets. And there's a clerk. You know, the clerk takes the rubber stamp and all day he's working hard. Chick, 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 he's putting all day. And father, he may get maybe 4,000 or 5,000 he gets. So Prabhupada is asking a very nice question there. The clerk works more harder than the high court judge, right? And why he is getting only 4,000 or 5,000 rupees? And the high court judge is getting 50,000 rupees, isn't it? So that's the difference in quality of their work, correct? The quality of work what judge is doing is not an easy job, huh? It requires intelligence, it requires although the physical work is less, but it involves mental, intellect, smartness.
Smarter.
He is smarter, he is doing smarter work, not harder work. Whereas the clerk is doing, he is doing a physical job, he is doing more physical effort. But at the same time, it doesn't involve much intelligence, just putting rubber stamp. So he is comparing these two work to the human body and animal body. Human body means we have to do fine work. Human body is actually meant for doing a very fine job. Not, fine job is not working in a software job. That's not what human body is meant for. Maybe you may work for your livelihood. But fine job in human body, who can say what it is? Self-realization. That is our true self-interest. I am not the body. I am pure spirit soul. Now I am trapped in this body by the shackles of this material body. And I have to get out of this body to return to the spiritual world. And I have a connection to God. I can love Him, I can serve Him, and I can revive that original love and my original place that one has forgotten. So, that is a fine work. But if a human being does not do that work, then the material nature forces him to do this work.
Demoted.
He is demoted from that position. Then just like the animals are working hard, human being will have to work hard in the same way. Even for his livelihood or for luxuries or comforts and things of this world like that. He will be brought from this high position to this lower position. Like that. So I would like to read 2-3 translations, very interesting translations from what this Paramahamsa is speaking. Here what he is saying. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Here Prabhupada writes here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches, in the same way, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called struggle for existence. One kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to be taken to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities. Why? Because as long as the living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desires, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord. For then, materialistic activities will automatically stop. So here he is beautifully explaining this example of like a small piece of grass which has fallen into Atlantic and being tossed this way and that way. Similarly, we all identify with the body and we develop material desires. Actually, every body is meant to fulfill a certain type of material desire. There are 8.4 million species. And every time, Prabhupada says, even if you have one desire, you have to come back. Prabhupada says, one material desire also you have. One comes back to this world and then he takes on a suitable body to enjoy that desire. Like that. And this process is going on and on and on for millions and millions of lifetimes. And he's saying, in the course of evolutionary process, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. Before this, it's important to also know that when the soul is entrapped in the human body, or any body for that matter, that body is not under our control. That body is under the control of material nature. So we are put in the body, but the body is not acting according to our will and wish. It acts according to material nature, the stringent laws of material nature. For example, I may feel thirsty, I feel hungry, and the body grows old and brings about so many inconveniences. body gets diseases, it causes inconveniences. That means there are stringent laws of material nature which don't allow us to enjoy the way we want to enjoy. And the soul is trapped. What is the reason for this? Prabhupada explains in one place. Just like as soon as a person breaks the law of the country, immediately he comes under the control of the prison and the police force, right? Police force immediately takes him into custody and they immediately handcuff him, correct? And he is taken to the jail where he may be punished more depending on the severity of his crime, whatever he has done. Similarly, all living entities in this world are like handcuffed. Why? Because they have given up Krishna's service. They have given up their natural activity in the spiritual world. They want to be separate. So they are handcuffed or they are shackled. There is a famous verse which says, what is that? Krishna Mulya says, Jeeva Anadi Bahir Mukha Atteva Maya Deya Samsara Dukkha. It says, very simple verse, no? Krishna Mulya means having forgotten Krishna. And Bahir Mukha means Anadi Bahir Mukha. Long, long ago the soul turned his face away from the Lord and wanted to enjoy separately. Then Atayeva, therefore, Maya Deya, Maya is giving Samsara Dukkha, this sign. She is giving Samsara Dukkha. So, a wise person should understand these things. That I am a pure spirit soul, currently entrapped in the body, and the body doesn't act according to my interest. We many times when we are in youth stage, we think body is very hale and healthy. And I can do whatever I want, I can enjoy life. But then as you grow older, you see that body doesn't act according to your desire. Many times. Some people cannot even pass urine. Those who have uremia, they can't even pass urine. I was once in a youth class we were doing. I asked students to, we made groups. So we said right from the top of the head to tip of the toe, every part of the body they have to find out what diseases person gets. from here we began from the head, you know. For every part of the body you can think of one disease. Isn't it?
Specialist doctor.
Yeah?
Every part there is a specialist doctor.
Yeah, there is a specialist now for every part of the body. Isn't it? In the brain you can get brain tumor. Isn't it? Or in the eyes you can get cataract. Isn't it? Nose?
Sinus.
Yeah. In the mouth? Also, teeth, the neck, ingrate spondylitis, isn't it? Yeah, isn't it? Think of every part of the body, there is a disease available. So this goes to show that the material nature is controlling our body. We don't have much control. Once when we came in our sumo here, after the program was over, we were returning. So our sumo driver was little, he's a very rash driver in those days. So he is little fast, he used to drive. So that fellow took the sumo and used to very stylishly drive. Sometimes I would overtake like this and all that. So I used to scold them. So that day when he went from here, he was taking a right turn in the steering, but the sumo was going straight. It was not going right at all. I asked him, what happened? He said, Prabhuji, I lost control now. Steering is not connected to the wheel. No. Some problem. So, fortunately, brake was working at least. So, why I am telling you this example? Similarly, we find when you are young, now when you turn right, body turns right. When you turn left, now you can turn left. Another time you turn right, body turns left. You can easily see that. It doesn't act according to our interests. Body is not in our control. We can perceive that as we grow older. And see that, you know, body, how it is changing, how it is, you know, giving us trouble, you can see that. So we are a soul entrapped in this body and we have to begin understanding that I am suffering in this body. Yeah. And this is a very, actually the suffering is not the physical pains or mental pains you are suffering. There is one thing that, due to which it's called as suffering. Yeah. Can anyone say, what is our diseased state? Why it is called as a diseased state? Of course, soul is entrapped in the body, but there is one. He is saying attraction to material disease. See, the greatest disease is even after being entrapped in such a suffering material body, to not realize the fact that I am suffering and to think that this body is wonderful. That is the disease. That's the main disease. So Prabhupada says the difference between animal and human is that animals suffer, but they cannot realize that they are suffering. But human beings suffer, human beings, and they can easily understand that I am suffering. Just like Prabhupada gives example of, you know, goats going to a slaughterhouse. You know, one by one they are being slaughtered. Although they are being slaughtered, every goat will be eating the grass and going in the same queue, one by one, without realizing that, you know, what is going to be his destination. Whereas a human being, actually, when somebody is suffering or oneself is suffering, one can ask the question, why am I suffering? So the first step is to realize that I am trapped in this body and I am suffering in this body. And I am not able to become happy. Why? Because I am different from the body. Coming back to the first point, I am soul and I need that quality of pleasure, which is spiritual pleasure, to satisfy the soul. But what am I trying to do? I am trying to satisfy the soul by giving the material pleasures, which are puny and trivial in comparison to the spiritual pleasure. If you see the pleasures of the material world, if you compare the Brahmananda, it is said the material world pleasures are like one drop in the Brahmananda. Brahmananda is the Brahma Jyoti. And the pleasure you get in Brahmananda, na shochite na kankshiti pleasure. There is no pangs of birth and death, disease, old age, all that. That pleasure is one drop in the pleasure of Bhaktiananda. Then you can imagine how small is the pleasure for the soul. So the soul feels cheated in this world. When he wanders here and there, like, you know, it's like I was hearing in this Devamrita Swami's lecture, one of the recent lectures, he was telling, like, you know, you are very, very thirsty, like this deer which is running in the desert here and there. When you are running here and there, you are finding mirage and you go near and you don't get anything there. So you are feeling very, very thirsty. And then you find a helicopter flying above. And there's a big banner outside the helicopter put up. Fresh cooling waters. And it flies around you. You keep watching. Like this, no? So you think the whole helicopter is full of water. So they are going to come and offer me. And at last, after a long expectation, it comes down, 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 down. And then you rush to the helicopter. Please open the door, open the door. I am dying practically. And they open the door. And inside you find you don't find big bottles of Bisleri there. Only one person is sitting there and he comes out. And he comes with one small bottle. And you think, at least one bottle I got, you are thinking. And then he asks you to show the hand and puts one drop. That's all he gives. So what he says is that the material pleasures promise far more than what they actually offer. They offer one drop, but they promise infinite amount. That is the way they are. This is the meaning of illusion. The illusion promises you far more. And like the helicopter is flying and your expectations grow higher and higher when you see that. But then what they actually offer you, when you get that, you feel I am cheated. There is nothing. It is simply cheating. So that's how this material world is created. So one should know that first of all I am suffering, trapped in this body, because Ateva Maya Deya Samsara Dukkha, that is the principle. I have not served Krishna, so I am serving Maya. You have to serve either Mahamaya or Yogamaya, one out of the two. Because the soul by nature is tatastha. He has to take shelter of either Yogamaya or Mahamaya. One out of the two, he has to take shelter. He cannot be without shelter. That's not his nature. So when you don't take one shelter, naturally you are put under the shelter of another one. It's like that. And the pleasures that we are seeking in this world, material pleasures we get, they are very, very insignificant for the soul. They don't cater to the needs of the soul. The soul's need of pleasure is like unlimited. Because it's Sachidananda. The spiritual world, there is unlimited pleasure for the soul. And it is ever-expanding pleasure. So he doesn't experience pleasure, he suffers. So then he talks about how in the material world, the people come, people accumulate so much money, people seek different kinds of enjoyments, and he talks about how people suffer in this world. He says a very interesting thing. He says they want to increase happiness unlimitedly and put a full stop to suffering. But what they get? They get just the opposite. Their sufferings are increased unlimitedly and the happiness is put a full stop. Like that. So he explains all that. Then at last here he says, in this way the conditioned soul living within the body forgets his self-interest because he identifies himself with the body. Because the body is material, his natural tendency is to be attracted by the varieties of the material world. Thus the living entity suffers miseries of material existence. Here is the problem actually. The soul enjoys spiritual variety in the spiritual world. Like Prabhupada said once, in a flower vase there are varieties of flowers, and the variety is the mother of enjoyment. You know the saying in English? Variety is the mother of enjoyment. In a flower vase, when you see different kinds of flowers, colorful flowers, we all want to see variety, you know? Different types of flowers, different type of fragrances. Similarly, in the spiritual world there is variety. You know? But the soul has left the spiritual world and come to material world, and now trapped in the body, he thinks I am the body, and he is looking for what variety?
Material
variety. So in the second canto, second canto, second chapter, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 verses we can read. There's a talk about material variety. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking. He's saying a very interesting verse. You all can repeat after me. Ata kavir namasu yavadarta. Syada pramatto vyavasaya buddhi.
Syada pramatto vyavasaya buddhi.
Siddhenyatarte nayate tatatra.
Siddhenyatarte nayate tatatra.
Parishramam tatra samikshamanaha.
Parishramam tatra samikshamanaha.
He says, Atha kavir. Kavir means very learned person. Namasu yavadarta. A learned person knows very well, although there are so many names being spoken in this world. There is Colgate, there is Close-Up, there is this soap and that soap, and this product and that product, this television and that television, this computer and that computer. There are so many names, names of the consumable objects as well as names of the streets, names of people, names of states, names of different shops. All these names are there. He says, all these things in the material world is simply a conglomeration of names only, which all are simply made up of Panchamahabhut. Like that a person says, Atakavir namasu yavadarta. They see like that. And he says, Syad apramatto. Apramatta means he doesn't become bewildered by seeing them. Not that you see advertisement and say, wow, see that. We should get that. That's why advertisement people are trying to attract the people. They want to excite the people, to excite the senses of the people. And they clearly know the advertisement agency means to do little research on the weaknesses of people and exactly attack them in their weakness. That is advertisement industry. So that, you know, they excite you, they infatuate you. So you'll be forced to buy and then get cheated after that, like that. So a wise person should know that the whole material world is simply a conglomeration of names only. So syad apramatto vyavasaya buddhi. He has a vyavasaya buddhi, means a fixed intelligence. He is not bewildered by these so-called attractive things. Like we say, old wine in a new bottle. That is material world. Same activity, eating, sleeping, mating, defending in every body. Sometimes you take a cat's body or a dog's body, camel's body, jackal's body, tiger's body, sometimes human body, demigod's body. But what is activity? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Same old activity. So these four activities are called as the old wine. What is the new bottle every time you get?
Body.
New metal body, that's all. You are given a fresh metal body every time. New metal body. Same old activities. So when one can see this, that these material activities have never given me happiness in so many millions of lifetimes. I have struggled hard in this world. Now also I am trapped in this body. So that is why he is saying, the conscious soul should not forget the self-interest. What is our self-interest? Who can say? Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. What is our self-interest? To achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is our self-interest. So, seated in this body, the soul either forgets his true position, identifies with the body, and he chases after the mirage of the material pleasures. That's one thing he does. Or else, even if we know that I am not the body, I am the soul, that knowledge doesn't immediately help. Because many times we are unable to perceive the suffering. Like Krishna says, no, Janma Mrtu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means one should perceive the evil in these four things. He says, we fail to perceive. Because of which despite knowing the knowledge, we again and again indulge in the material world and we get lost like that. That is a problem. So he's explaining, because the body is material, his natural tendency to be attracted with the varieties of the material world. He gets attracted to material variety. So forgetting the spiritual variety in the spiritual world. Now what is to be done? If you think deeply about this, that means, see, we are going to come to the point of Udasin now. We are talking all these background topics to come to that one word, Udasin. That means you should become completely oblivious to the material things around you and know that you are not the body, nor is this material world a very wonderful place to live. This material variety is simply created for bewilderment, to bewilder the soul. It's a very nice display by Maya. It's like a glittering Maya. She presents various things in this world. She creates artificial variety, which is simply Panchamahabhut. Simply various combinations of Panchamahabhut, that's all. In different ways, she presents herself, in various ways. So one can know that, and one can completely withdraw oneself from material consciousness, or allowing the consciousness to indulge in the material affairs and withdraw oneself completely and become materially desireless. Then such a person is called as Udasin. One can do that. That's a person who is indifferent. Why? Because this Udasin person knows that if I allow my consciousness to flow outwards, Bahir, Arthamaninaha, that's the meaning of Bahir. Bahir means we allow the mind to wander in the outside world very fastly, forgetting the inner world. So, Natevudha Swartha Kadhimi Vishnu, Durashayaye, Bahirarthamaninaha. Bahir, Arthamaninaha. He is considering the outside world to be Artha. That means something valuable. But what is it? Is it Artha? What is it? Anartha, yeah. But Manina, Maan lete hain. Bahar ke dunya ko bahut artha wala maante hain. They consider the external world, which is simply a world of Maya, to be consisting of, that is substance. They consider that to be substance, Artha, or the Vastu. But the Bhagavatam uses the word Vastava Vastu in the very first canto. Vedyam Vastava, isn't it? You know that verse? Dharma prochida kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatra yon mulanam Srimad Bhagavatam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krite kimba parahirishwara sadyo hridivate tradu kridivisya shrushabhistakshana. So second line says this. The vastava vastu means the actual substance. The true substance is the absolute truth and the spiritual variety. That is the real, that's a reality. So it is not just called Vastu, it's a Vastava Vastu means. You know the word Vastavam? Real, yeah. Yeah, real, yeah. You know, the Prabhupada used to say real estate. We say real estate, no? Which one you call as a real estate? That means you really own it. You know, the title is clear and you really own it. Actually one wants it. You call it as real. So Vastava Vastu means the real substance, the real variety, that is indestructible variety. Yassa Sarveshu Bhuteshu Nashyatsu Nami Nashyati. So one's aim should be kept there. And one should know that this material world is simply smoke that only causes trouble. Just like when you burn a wood, fire of course comes, but then sometimes with the wood is wet, there is more smoke also. So material world is compared to smoke. Spiritual world is compared to the real fire. So material world is created to give us trouble. Ateva maya deya samsaradu. That's why it's given. So one should not become fascinated by or impressed by the allurements offered by the material nature. Knowing well that I am actually a prisoner in this material world. Sometimes you see how a prisoner, you know, they put a long chain kind of thing up to the leg, you know. It is not a decoration. It's actually it's a humiliation upon the soul. Similarly, the material body is like humiliation. Like, you know, one dog was jumping and creating too much of trouble. So the master, you know what he did? He took two logs of wood and connected them with a rope and he hung it on the neck of the dog. So the dog thought he had probably given a gold medal, nice medal for me, he thought. But what was it put for? That medal, not medal, I mean the two logs of wood, just to keep him under control. Similarly, the mischievous soul, in order to keep him under control, the material body is given, so that the three modes of material nature can make him dance according to different tunes, according to his different desires, and he can accordingly get punishment. So, as soon as there is material desire, there is suffering subsequently. And one cannot avoid having material desire if one is in modes, as long as one is in three modes. That means, as soon as you come into the zone of material world, you are subjected to three modes. Three modes generate material desires in your heart, and they arrange opportunity for you to enjoy so that you can suffer. That's how it is arranged as a material world. So, now is it not cruelty, we may wonder? It's not, because like, you know, there is a criminal police station. You are passing by. Are you going to be afraid? Oh, I am going through criminal police station. No police should look at me. Are you going to walk like that? You don't have any fear. Why you don't have any fear? You are not a criminal. If you are not a criminal, you have no fear. But as soon as one is a criminal, then one will be very fearful. He will try to hide, isn't it? Similarly, Prabhupada explains, even being in the kingdom of Maya is no problem for the devotee if a devotee is engaged in Krishna service. Because we are not under custody of Maya, we are under custody of Krishna. So we have no fear, even in the material world. That's why devotee says, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Is he speaking against Parampara? According to Parampara, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Isn't it? Is it not correct? What is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita? Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. But here another devotee is saying, Prabodhanand Saraswati, very famous Acharya, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, Vidimahendra Adishcha Kitayate. He says that. So he is saying, this whole world is a place of happiness, he says. Is it not just opposite to what Krishna is saying? Huh? Is it opposite?
Why did it like that, sir?
It is. For a devotee, there is
no suffering. Yeah, for a devotee, there is no suffering. Why? Because a devotee does not live in the material world. A devotee lives in Vaikuntha, even while being in the material world. Although a devotee may be apparently in the material world, because a devotee is in spiritual world, in consciousness, so a devotee doesn't become entangled in the material world. You all can repeat a famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. Brahmanyadhaya karmani,
Brahmanyadhaya karmani,
Sangam tyaktva karotiyah,
Sangam tyaktva karotiyah,
Lipyate nasapapena,
Lipyate nasapapena,
Padma patram ivambhasa,
Padma patram ivambhasa.
Like a lotus leaf untouched by water. You put some water there, the water look like pearls, it will just fall off. So a devotee can live untouched by material maya in this world, as a jivan mukta, if one lives as a udasin. Now to become udasin, to give up the material desires is not a joke. It's not possible to not identify with the body. Very easily we identify with the body. Yeah, it's very difficult to completely forget the body. You see, even renunciates. Like I was talking today morning to Brahmacharis. Like, you know, Brahmacharis sometimes shave up and they think, oh, my shavanet is beautiful. They think. Or some Brahmacharis think his shikha is more beautiful. Even after shaving, why do you shave actually? We shave so that we can renounce the material desires along with the hair. But we may think, in the same way, yogis sometimes keep long matted hair and they want to know how beautiful I look like Lord Shiva, or, you know. I look like a real Vairagi now. They may think like that. So it's not that the material desires can be shaved off along with the hair very easily. Shaving hair is an easy job. You go to the saloon and pay a little. In no time you can shave, but desires cannot be shaved so easily. They are very, very deep rooted. That is why in Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila gives a very interesting verse. He says, Sandahyamana sarvanga yesham budvahanadina. He's saying the living entity is literally burnt in this world. He's saying, in struggling for enjoying sense gratification in this world. He's running here and there, seeking money. There are many sections in Bhagavatam you can read, how the living entity suffers in this world. You can see that. But then he says, later, how the living entity can come out of this entanglement. He gives a method there. Thiro Bhavitri Shanakair Agner Yonir Ivarani. He is giving a nice example. He says if you take two sticks of arani and if you upgrade them like this, what will be produced?
Fire.
But that fire can, after the fire comes out, that very same fire can burn away both the arani sticks completely. In the same way, he says the material body is certainly a curse for the soul. It's a humiliation upon the soul. Soul is not supposed to have this material body because it's a trap for him. But the very same material body can be utilized to elevate the soul in such a way that elevation will burn away the material body and the subtle body. The gross and subtle bodies can be burnt away so that the pure soul can ascend to the spiritual sky. So that means arani only you use to create fire, but that very same fire burns away the arani sticks. Similarly, he says the material body is the one which is a shariram kaludharma sadhanam, it is said, no? Shariram adhyam kaludharma sadhanam, it is said. That means the material body is needed for performing devotional activities, right? We need the material body to take us from place to another place and other things. But the very same material body with which you engage in devotional service and the fire of devotional service, when it is awakened in the heart, that can burn away the material body. Now, is burning material body a difficult thing? Everyone's dead body is going to be burnt, isn't it? At the time of death, is everyone's dead body not burnt? So what is so special about this burning?
Desire.
Who can say?
Material desires are burnt.
Burning the gross material body is not difficult. But what he's talking about is Jarayatyashyakosham Nigirnam Analoyata. The subtle body which is consisting of so many bad material impressions, vrittis, vasanas and sanskaras for many, many lifetimes, deep rooted in our subconscious mind, which are very difficult to overcome, the bad tendencies which we have, the tendency to commit sin, that will be burnt to ashes. That is actually the meaning. That will be burnt off. Then the soul becomes completely pure. Pure in the sense is relieved of all the coverings. Then he becomes fit to return back to spiritual world. So how is this done? We have an aranistic example. That is Bhakti Yoga, he says. In Bhakti Yoga, what happens? The soul has a nature to be very active. Soul cannot be inactive. Like, you know, even when you put a person in a sack race, you have seen the sack race?
Yes.
How many of you have participated in sack race? Oh, so many of you. Good, you know it. So in sack race, after you get into the sack, are you able to still walk or not? Little difficult, but you can walk, isn't it?
Jump.
Some of you jump. Imagine if you are inside the sack, you are jumping. Without the sack, how fastly you can go? Correct? Now all of us are in the sack of material body. Still we are so active. Imagine you are relieved from the material body. How much more you will be active? Isn't it? So that's why Narada Muni is flying from one planet to another planet. He is going from material world to Vaikuntha. The more you gain freedom from the material shackles, and the more you can be active, and the soul is active. Nahigashchit chanamapi jata tishtati akarma, Krishna says. He cannot be inactive at any time. He's highly active. So, the problem with the soul here in the material world is, he becomes highly active in the material circle. That is the problem. Because he's in the material body, and he's seeing all material objects around him, he becomes very dynamic in the material engagements. And that material engagement entangles him. Rather, now the soul should understand that I am not this body. I am misunderstanding that I am this body. So he has to get out of that wrong consciousness. And he has to become active in the spiritual field. As a soul, remembering that I am the soul. You see, there are many activities which may look alike. Arjuna is fighting and Duryodhana is fighting. Both are fighting, isn't it? Both have chariots. Both have bow and arrows. Both are fighting in the battle. But one is fighting for Krishna, while the other is fighting for one's own gratification, sense gratification. Same way, the soul has to understand that I have to act, but I have to act without entanglement. I have to have desire, but I should have only spiritual desires. That is the way the soul has to learn to act. So the example is given of mercury. Mercury is poison, but the same mercury can be converted into mercury basma. You know mercury basma in Ayurveda they use?
Para
basma they call it. Para basma. And para basma is a medicine. it doesn't kill a person, it saves a person. Similarly, you take a thorn. Nobody will take a thorn and prick oneself. But then when a thorn goes into your leg, you take one thorn to remove the other thorn. Correct? You can remove like that. Very easily you can remove. In the same way, sometimes somebody is bitten by a snake. What is the medicine they give? Snake venom. Huh? They cut it. Medicine, what medicine they give? Anybody knows? Yeah, they again give another poison to counteract the effect of the previous poison of the snake. They do like that. Similarly, this formula is saying that now the soul in this world comes and becomes trapped in the material body, and he is not able to become Udasin. To become Udasin means to become devoid of activity. Can we become? If I tell all of you, come, let's all go to Himalayas and renounce everything, how many of you will come? You all want to become Udasin from today onwards. We go to Gangotri or Badrinath and reside there, becoming Udasin Babas. Isn't it? Is it possible for everyone? How many can do that? It's difficult to leave everything. But here he gives a very easy technique to become Udasin. What he says, the soul has to be active, but now he is unnecessarily active in the material body. Now you become active in the spiritual realm. And that is the reason why we have the Archavigraha. Archavigraha is a form of the Lord in which he mercifully appears in the material world. So become active for Krishna's sake. We chant. Actually, whatever activities we do in devotional life are all activities of the spiritual world. But we are doing it sitting inside the material body, we are doing it. That's the only difference here. In spiritual world, everyone wears tilak. Spiritual world, everyone wears kantimala and everyone dances. Everyone chants, everyone is serving the Lord, everyone is making garland, everyone is pleasing the Lord in various ways. We do the same activities. Only difference is, there we do it as spirit souls and here we do by sitting inside the body, in the material body. So, we challenge Maya, material nature, by doing the spiritual activity of the spiritual world in material world. We do like that. Like Prabhupada says, the example of how you go to American Embassy in India. If you have been to American Embassy, what is speciality in American Embassy? Somebody can say. Say you go inside American Embassy office in that area. What is so special there?
Indian laws are not applicable there.
Indian laws are not applicable there. You know that? The American laws are applicable there. You know that? That's a speciality of the embassy. And the American Embassy also gives you information about America. About what all... What is so special about going to America? So it will actually increase your eagerness to fly to America by seeing that. So two things. In the same way, if there is a temple of the Lord like we have here, that place, the whole place becomes Vaikuntha. So the laws of material world are not applicable there. The laws of spiritual world apply there. Everyone's consciousness becomes awakened. And everyone is able to remember Krishna very nicely. And serve Krishna, and they are able to love one another, serve one another. There is Vaikuntha atmosphere. And besides that, that atmosphere inspires us to return back to spiritual world, Godhead. So that means even in the material world, we can create a Vaikuntha. This is Prabhupada said, the liquor shops are in mode of ignorance. He said, isn't it? And cities are mode of passion. The forests are in mode of goodness. And then Prabhupada said, and my temples are in Vaikuntha, in pure goodness, Prabhupada said. All of the temples are in Vaikuntha, he said, spiritual world. So this is the only way by which one can, practically speaking, become Udasin in this material world. In fact, you can become totally oblivious to the onslaught of Maya by absorbing oneself deeply in Krishna consciousness. It depends on how much Shraddha we have. Faith in what we hear. Understanding is one thing and Shraddha is another thing. So two things Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion. Knowledge and faith. He says you increase the knowledge so that your faith also can be increased. Many people have knowledge but they lack faith. If one has both knowledge and faith, then that faith actually, the pure and innocent faith in all the facts of the scriptures that we have heard. If one develops faith, gradually one's absorption will increase more and more. One will become absorbed. And one can become practically oblivious to the onslaught of material nature. Like he says about Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj actually had everything. He had the queens, he had the children, he had ministers, He had elephants and horses and wealth and riches and whatnot. Everything he had. But he wanted to renounce the pleasures of the world and go to forest and perform severe penances for achieving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says, it's not that Bharat was, you know, suddenly he had a big loss in the business and now he thought I'll take to spiritual life. Not like that. Sometimes it happens with people. There's a big loss they face. So they are a failure in material life. Okay, now let me go to God. I have nothing else to do now. Smashan Vairagya. His case was not that. He was very successful in his material life. While everything was available to him to enjoy, he renounced them all. Uttama shloka lalasa, it is said. So he could do that. How? Because of his absorption in devotional service. That is explained. What is the third line? Jahau yuvaiva malavat uttama shloka lalasa. That lalasa word is very important here. That's what we are talking here. The absorption in Krishna consciousness can make us completely udasin. Like, you know, one can be sitting in a fish market or one can be sitting in the railway station, trains going here and there and chalte gadi pakadna nahi chahiye, like that they are announcing and everything. All is going on. But then you can be completely absorbed in chanting. All announcements are going, isn't it? And all onslaught of so many sounds everywhere. Trains going, coming, tum tum sounds are going on, everything. And then you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama 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 Rama. You can be totally oblivious. One can be udasin depending on one's absorption in Krishna consciousness. That's absorption is the last thing. Attraction, affection, attachment, attention and absorption. Five A's in getting to absorption. First we have little attraction for Krishna consciousness. And after we come in Krishna conscious circle, then we develop affection for the Lord. Affection for the Lord and His pastimes. And then that gradually turns into attachment. And when you develop attachment, then our attention becomes very deep. Attention is so deep that nothing can distract you. It's a one point. Ekka bhakti rushishate yaar tasmad ekena manasa Bhagavan Satvatampati. And by that undivided one pointed attention, that ultimately leads to absorption. So by such a spiritual absorption, one can become udasin to the things of the material world. That is why even Mayavadis, there are one section of impersonalists in Bengal and Bangladesh. They saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers and they were very amazed that how these people, they are chanting all the time Hare Krishna, chanting, dancing, eating prasadam, nice delicious foods they are eating, prasadam, everything. And they are going on day after day, month after month, year after year, and they are going on for years together. And we people are eating kandamul, kandamul, you know, this roots and everything. And we are practically starving to control the mind and senses, and it is so difficult. And even then, the material diseases attack us. So what is the secret of the devotees being so transcendental to the allurements of the world? Then they found out that because the chanting of the holy name of Hari, it is so intoxicating, such liquid mellows are produced in the heart of a devotee by chanting of the holy name and singing for the pleasure of the Lord, that a devotee is able to get a paramdrishtva, a superior, higher taste, by which all the material desires of this world become very puny and trivial. So one is able to become oblivious. So then they came up with a new concocted bogus philosophy called as Chaitanya Pat Shankaramat. That is their philosophy. Which means they say that till death we will live like Chaitanya's followers. We will also chant, dance and sing the holy names and everything. But what is their goal? Shankaramat, merge into one, that one supreme Brahman. That is their goal. But why I am quoting this example here? Simply to highlight this one point. How the path of devotional service is so wonderful. It can, it's susukam kartam avyayam. It's joyfully performed. At the same time, it can make you a true udasin. Also, it's 8:40, I didn't realize the time. I wanted to tell you how the udasin stage is attained by other people without bhakti yoga. That also you should know. So that you can appreciate the path of bhakti yoga with deep gratitude. Isn't it? Can we speak for 10 more minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. So here you will find this Paramahamsa behavior of a perfect person. How he attained Udasin? You know what he did to attain this Udasin stage? He left the whole society, community, relatives, friends, and he went to the forest. He said, I adopted the path of Ajgar Vritti, he said. Ajgar Vritti means, like Ajgar is a big python, mountain serpent. He just opens his mouth like this and he's sitting like this. And any passing by animal would come, it would go into the mouth, then only he can eat. Otherwise he can't eat. So he said, I only accept food that comes of its own accord. I don't do any endeavor. Because in this world, if you do endeavor, you'll get entangled. So no, don't do any endeavor, he said. And he said, I also adopted the, after seeing this bumblebee, honeybee, I learned a good lesson, he said. You know what lesson he learned? The honeybee goes from one flower to another flower and takes the honey and stores it in the honeycomb. After storing for several months, so much of honey, one day a farmer comes with a mashal, with a fiery stick in his hand and drives away all the honeybees and takes the honeycomb and goes away. Similarly, he said, I have seen the people of this world, little by little, every month they do some savings and they accumulate money. Now I have done, I have 1 lakh rupees, 5 lakh rupees, 10 lakh rupees, 1 crore, 2 crore, 3 crore. Now from lakhpati I have jumped to crorepati now. They keep accumulating. And then at one point of time, the death comes and the money is taken away. Either money leaves them or they leave money. One of the two happens like that. Either money is not only taken away by death, it can be taken away by a robber. Like it happened in the market yard, in one of the biggest shops in market yard. So the owner came out of the shop, locking his shop. So as soon as he locked the shop, he bowed down and he stood up. Immediately one fellow stabbed from behind. On the spot, this fellow cried and fell on the ground. That fellow took all the money and ran away. So it happened once like that. So that means there is danger of money being stolen away. Or there's a danger of death taking away the money. Or there can be so many different types of misfortune by which money can be taken away, he explains. So he says, from the bumblebee, I learned a good lesson that don't spend all your life simply accumulating wealth more and more, hoping that, you know, I will do something in future. You can't do anything. By the time you'll be gone, all the money will be stored in the bank. Even if you put in Swiss bank account, it'll remain there intact. And you can't enjoy it. And your, you know, people who are successors may not even know the account, how to get the money back. So, people may kill us for that money. So the idea is, he said, from Python I learned to simply accept what comes of its own accord. Because such a person who is true Udasin in the Vedic life, what he should do, he says, Prabhupada explains that, he simply walks naked, or he may wear very bare minimum clothes. And he doesn't depend on anyone. Don't depend on anyone in the society. And move from place to place. Don't stay in one place for more than one day, because you'll develop attachment to someone. There's a possibility. It is said, no? You know, guests and fish start stinking after 3 days, it is said, no? Because you may give trouble to others, or they may give trouble to you. You can't stay for long. Or you may develop attachment towards someone. So he has to keep moving from place to place. And his heart should be like a child, like innocent child, free from any necessities, free from any wants or demands or luxuries or comforts. Absolutely, he doesn't demand anything. And whatever God sends, he accepts it. Just like, you know, they have a policy that only when a fruit falls off a tree, they can take it. You cannot even pluck a fruit. Even that much harm also, you should not cause others. Because if you cause some harm, then you'll get next birth. No? To get the karmic reaction for that. So, he says, sometimes I get meager amount of food. Sometimes I would get large volumes of food. Sometimes I get very, very low quality food. Sometimes I get delicious foods. Like that. Sometimes the person who is serving the food to me, he's serving with great respect, you know, thinking that I am a saintly person. He is falling at the feet and serving me. Other times people shout at me when they give food, get lost from here, like that. I'm treated in different ways, but whatever comes of its own accord, I accept. Similarly, the dress, he says, sometimes I take a cloth that is casted away by someone, dirty cloth, the dustbin, I take it and I wear that dress. Another time, I am bathed very beautifully and sandalwood pulp is applied on my body. I wear beautiful garlands and garments, and wearing costly garments on my body. I sit on the back of an elephant. and saluted by everyone like a king. So Prabhupada is saying here that he is not talking of one lifetime, he is talking of many lifetimes. That in different lives, the living entity is put in different conditions. Sometimes he is a king sitting on the back of an elephant, respected by all people. Another life is simply like a beggar, a penniless beggar in the street. So Avadhut Brahman is talking about how the soul is passing from different situations. And he says, sometimes I lie on the stone, sometimes I lie on the grass, sometimes I lie on the ashes, or sometimes I lie on a very soft cushioned bed in a big palatial building. I lie in different. So here also Prabhupada says, if one is an animal, one may just lie on a stone, or one may just lie on grass, or if one is born in a wealthy family, one may lie on a soft bed, nice bed. So he says, I'm passing through all these different situations. And then he says, now that I have got a human body, I want to learn to be completely indifferent to everyone and everything. And he's saying that different people are of different mentalities. So neither do I praise them nor criticize them. This is Udasin. That, you know, we all have a lot of expectation from others. He didn't do this or she didn't do this. I told you, why you didn't hear me well? We become wild many times like that. But a Udasin person is one who has no expectations from anybody. He is Udasin. He doesn't praise anyone. He doesn't criticize anyone. Shubha Shubha Parityagi. Just like Jada Bharata, isn't it? He was also similar. So he was a Udasin like that. So these are the things he is doing to become desireless. How many of us can do this? Just imagine. It's very difficult to become desireless, to evacuate the heart of all the material desires. That behavior of a perfect person. He's talking to Prahlad. He's telling how he became desireless, he's telling, and how he became cheerful. Actually, such a mendicant, one who becomes devoid of all material desires and necessities and needs and does not depend on anyone. You see, as soon as one becomes the official priest of a king, then he becomes dependent on the king. Then he becomes obliged to the king. So Paramahamsa is one who doesn't become obliged to anyone. He lives completely independent and without being bound by anything. So these are the things that a Udasin person would do to remain in the state of Udasin. So I told you the actual solution in the beginning only. What is the easier way to be Udasin in this world? The path of Bhakti Yoga. So in the path of Bhakti Yoga, one can be a true Udasin. It's possible by positive engagement rather than negatively trying to evacuate the heart of all the material desires, which is a very difficult procedure. How many people can become Avadhut Brahman like this one, or the Avadhut Brahman in the 11th canto, who was wandering guidelessly in the forest, wandering, Yadu met him, and he spoke about the 24 gurus. Such Avadhutas are very, very rare. Or like Navayogendras were wandering, they are also Avadhutas. So Avadhutas are generally Udasin, they are neutral. In fact, the Avadhutas are considered to be crazy by the common public many times. Like when Shukadeva Goswami came, the children were throwing stones at him, isn't it? But later when he came to the banks of Ganges, at that time, all the sages and saints, they all stood up and gave him the most elevated seat to sit. And even Vedavyas, they were all sitting down and hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, such a qualified person. So Avadhutas can be very well misunderstood. If any of us try to put up Avadhut Vesh, we can be thoroughly misunderstood by society, and ours is a preaching mission. If you become Avadhuta, it's a great problem for the society. So we cannot become such Avadhutas. So we are a preaching mission. So preaching mission means we are part of the society. So such Avadhutas or Udasin Babas, they are very rare. And that is the way they have achieved Udasyanata. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita also, 3rd chapter, Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astito janakadayah loka sangrahamevapi sampashyan kartumarhasi. He is telling, see these great kings, my dear Arjuna, like Janaka. See Janaka and the other great Rajarishi kings. They could have easily become Udasin. They would have left everything and they would have become Udasin, leaving the society. But they are fulfilling the duty of being a king. What for? Karmanaivikisam siddhim astito janakad loka sangraha mevapi. He is saying, for the purpose of setting an example for the society. So, but we have to know that the stature of kings like Janaka or Ambarisha Maharaj or Kulashekara, these are all not ordinary people. They are all very, very exalted personalities. They were apparently living wearing the garb of a king externally, like Ambarish Maharaj. They look like ordinary kings, wearing the robes of a king, having ministers. Prabhupada says in one place, they sit in the throne only for the sake of doing the duty of a king. But they are actually rishis. They are rishis in the disguise of kings. They are such rishis, pure souls. They know the shastras very well. They know the tenets of the scriptures. They know what is right, what is wrong. They have developed a great loving attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Janaka was a very great devotee. We were talking some classes ago, if you remember, how he used to hear the katha of the Lord every day. Actually, every king hears katha, if you see. Janaka Maharaj is hearing katha, Kulashekara is hearing katha. Morning they are going to the temple and taking darshan of the deities. So, amongst all the examples, the example of Kulashekara is the most appealing. Because Kulashekara truly became a udasin to the material things of the world. He became completely oblivious. And he became transcendental to all the dualities of the world by absorbing himself in the katha. Because it is said that whenever he would hear the katha, he would become a part of it, he would become a role in it himself. He never heard the katha like this and left it with the other ears. The katha would enter the ears and enter the heart and completely transport him from material world to the spiritual world, like that. That is why even in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a story of a Brahmana when he came to Dakshakshana Brahmayan, where he read that Mother Sita was taken away by Ravana. Then he became very, very morose. And Lord Chaitanya went to his house. And he didn't cook anything for Lord Chaitanya also. Until noon he didn't cook anything. And Lord Chaitanya asked, what happened? And he said, my dear Lord, I can't cook anything, I can't eat anything today. So Lord Chaitanya asked, what is your problem? He said, my problem is Mother Sita has been taken away by Ravana. What a painful information I read just now. This is breaking my heart. I am simply planning to fast unto death. I don't want to do anything. Then Lord Chaitanya went from there and then he went to another place and got information from one of the Puranas, isn't it? What is the Purana? Varaha Purana or Kurma Purana? Yeah. Kurma Purana. Where it is said that Sita who was taken away by Ravana was Maya Sita. So when Lord showed the evidence, the Brahmana jumped up. He was very happy. Then he cooked for the Lord after that. Yeah. So this is an example of how one can become oblivious to material world. Same way Kulashekara also. He was a king. So when he would hear some tragedy from Rama and he would cry. When he would hear good news about Ram, he would laugh. He would appreciate very much. From his prayers only you can say how he is praying wonderful. In the Mukundamala Sutra you can see like that. So when he was hearing katha like this, slowly the pandits who used to read katha for him understood that this king, my lord, we cannot control him in his transcendental ecstasy, when he hears the katha. So one day they were reading like this and they said that Lord Ram was ordered by his father Dasharath to go to the forest. When he heard it, he immediately became very sulky, very sunken. He thought, alas, Lord Ram was told to go to the forest. Then he also wanted to go. But in the same way, another day when he heard that Ravana took away Mother Sita, he became very angry, wild. He called all his army. He said, I cannot allow this Ravana to take away our mother, dear Mother Sita. And he is flying towards Sri Lanka. Come, let's attack him. And then, so he was completely absorbed. And one another minister came running behind the king and said, my dear king, don't worry, Mother Sita is very safe. She is with Ram. So now the pandits understood that whenever you speak anything that causes, any disturbance to the king, then all our managerial affairs will be affected. So better they decided that we will only tell sweet things from Ramayana. And problem is in Ramayana there is a lot of tragedy, many places. So you have to selectively talk about Pattabhishek, nice things you have to talk like that. So they would selectively read nice sections of Ramayana. They would do that. But one day this official pandit, he got sick. So he couldn't come. So another person came and read. So when he spoke Ramayana, he took a wrong section. He took the section where he said Lord Ram is fighting with Ravana and there is a very Great war going on between the two. And what is there with Ram? Only the monkeys who don't know any weapons. They are simply throwing the boulders and trees. But the power of Ravana is very great. He's got mystic powers. He can fly in the sky. And these people are, empowered with so many weapons and everything. So there's a great war going on. When he heard it, he immediately stood up. And he called the ministers. And he said, immediately take our whole army. And we are going to support Lord Ram. We are going to Lanka right now. And he started proceeding towards Lanka with all his army. Nobody could stop him this time. Although many were saying many things, nothing entered his ears. Just went on and on and on. And they came up to the seashore. There on the seashore, something touched his feet. When he bowed down, he saw, he dug out, there was a beautiful deity of Ram, a golden deity of Ram, which he, the deity of the Lord spoke to him. Oh, my dear great devotee, you are eager to come and help me by crossing this great ocean. Don't worry. Everything is over. The war is over. Everything is safe. Don't worry. Because you are coming to assist me in my mission, I will cross over this ocean of material existence for you and take you back to the spiritual world, he said. So in this way, he cried tears of joy and he embraced the deity of the Lord to his chest and he fell unconscious. So one may be a housewife or one may be a king, one may be a young man or an old man or a child. It depends on how we learn to absorb ourselves in devotional service, by which we can become oblivious to the material world. Sometimes we have practical experience, like when we were in Chaupati, sometimes we used to have this Sharad Purnima, in those days. So Maharaj would be sitting in the front and we would all be surrounding him. And then he would start, and then the altar would open, The altar would open, there would be green forest, lushy green forest, and you can't see any wood anywhere, all forest only, You won't see there is altar. You will see Radha Gopinath will be there, Gavarnitai, Gopal, and covered with full of trees. At the top you'll find a beautiful moon, beautiful bright moon at the top. And then the kirtan would start, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shama Maharaj would start. And gradually you would build up the kirtan more and more and more. You will really feel you are transported to different planet altogether. Just participate in kirtan. Especially you observe yourself, half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours in the kirtan. You won't feel you are in the material world or you are in number 7, K.M. Munshi Marg, Mumbai Chaupati. You won't feel that, You forget that completely, So, the holy name has that power to help us become transcendental. You can transport us to the spiritual world. So, Gatavyataha means, by becoming such Udasin, you can become oblivious to the sufferings of the world. Like Prahlad is saying, Tvad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha. That is absorption. My dear Lord, because I am always absorbed in your transcendental glories, the pangs of the material world don't harm me at all. The threefold miseries or fourfold miseries, they don't affect me at all. Because all the time I am thinking of you. I am thinking of the... You see, this is called as burden of love. Like for example, if any of you is walking with their mother and father, they are having a heavy suitcase, then you snatch it from their hands and say, I will carry it for you. It's not very light for you, it's very heavy. But then you love to carry it for their sake, isn't it? Well, it's called the burden of love. Although it's burden, it may be painful, but still you don't feel the pain. Because you are actually serving them. You wouldn't want them to carry such a heavy luggage. In the same way, when a devotee engages in Lord's service, there may be many adversities and sufferings which may come in our life. But then those sufferings look very, very small for us. Because the joy you get is so enlivening. It is so exalted. So in this way, a pure devotee, Shubha Shubha Parityagi. Maybe I couldn't discuss that today. Maybe again the next verse we'll recite in the next class. And we'll continue. Thank you very much. He's asking, anybody knows what is Kulashekara's period? Which period he lived? Certainly after Ramanuja, Kulashekara is. Before Ramanuja, it is in 13th century, is it?
According to modern scholars, it's 9th century. But according to traditional Sri Vaishnavism, it is 2000 BC.
Is it?
Very, very old.
He's saying very old, sir. 2000 BC.
One of the Alvars,
Kulashekara Alvars,
Alvars
are senior to even Ramanuja, actually. Actually, Alvars actually are glorified Ramanujan. Yeah, that's true, yeah. He's one of the Alvars, yeah. That's true.
In the 9th chapter, Krishna also talks about Udasin Vat Nasin.
Yeah.
This was saying when visiting.
He's saying, Krishna is saying Udasin Vat. So there what Krishna is saying, I also have a Udasin role, Krishna is saying. That means I am not attached to the affairs of the material world. For example, say Krishna has sent all of us to the material world. But although the living entities are doing mischievous activities or good activities, Krishna doesn't become affected by it. He remains aloof. Generally, parents cannot be like that, isn't it? Like, you know, when you allow your child to do, you keep watching from behind. Hey, don't do this. Hey, do that. And they keep telling like that. But Krishna is such a Udasin Lord that he can allow us to do whatever we want. Go here, go there, do that, and learn our own lessons. So you can remain Udasin Avat.
Even though he loves us, he is not affected by the
suffering. Ah, this is a good question. He is asking, although he loves us, he is not affected by our sufferings. So in Paramatma platform, he is Udasin. A super soul. He is neutral. He just escorts you to different sukha and dukkha and all like that. But as Bhagavan, he is called as Bhakta Vatsal. Yeah. You know, if you want to know to what extent the Lord is worried about his devotees, there is one beautiful verse. When one becomes a devotee, it is said, Lord Vishnu sends the Sudarshan Chakra with his devotee for protecting. But even after having sent the Sudarshan Chakra with the devotee, the Lord still is in anxiety. So much so that he also follows the Sudarshan Chakra, it is said. There is a beautiful verse. I don't remember the verse. So, Lord is in great anxiety when it comes to devotees.
Yeah.
For non-devotees, he doesn't do anything. He puts super soul. He posts in Paramatma, takes care of that. Yeah. When you become devotees, then directly we are in Lord's circle. You know, Daivim Prakriti Mashritam. Yeah. We are in that, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can do Keith in 5 minutes?